Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Psalms, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. In our reading for this week, we have gone up to Psalms 12 for our reading. Actually, we should have done the first four Psalms last week, but I stayed in the book of Titus. Next week, we'll pick up with Psalms 13 and go through Psalms 19. The book of Psalms is actually a song book. If you were to translate literally Psalms into English, it would be songs. And this is what the Hebrews used in their worship. Many of the Psalms, if not the majority of them, are written by David, King David of Israel. But there are Psalms that aren't of David's penmanship. In fact, Psalms 137 is written hundreds of years after the time of David. If you turned over to Psalms 137, it would begin with, "By the waters of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion." And so whoever's writing this psalm is in Babylon. And then you look to verse 7 of Psalms 137, and it talks about Jerusalem being destroyed. "Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, 'Raise it to its very foundations.'" And that happens during the time of Jeremiah's prophecy. And he finishes up his prophecy somewhere around the time of the destruction of Jerusalem in 587. So Psalms 137 is nearly 400 years after the time of David. The book of Psalms, it's very interesting because the Psalms follow a theme. Each one has something to do with praise to God, but quite often with the troubles of men as well. But what we want to center upon for this morning's lesson, by and large, is Psalms 1. And Psalms 1 is a very good rendition of the struggles that man has in seeking advice or counsel. Do you always depend upon your own wherewithal and education, or do you seek the advice of others? I think all of us from time to time resort to seeking out those that we feel like can be of great help in making a tough decision. Well, the psalmist is going to outline the proper source or resource for us to use whenever we have things that need to be taken care of. I have written out on the marquee, "God's word is to the heart what water is to a tree." How good are you at taking care of your house plants? I'm not so good. If it's a cactus, it'll probably survive. But it requires one to be attentive and to water, not just occasionally, but at the right interims, as well as the right amounts. And invariably, I fail at that. But if you're good at watering a plant or taking care of it, you understand how necessary it is. Even a cactus, the cactuses of the desert, require water, even though they don't get much. And you'll see a storm come through, and all of a sudden the cactus will bloom. They'll flourish for just a little bit, and then they go back to almost a dormancy But that little bit of water is absolutely necessary for the cycle, for the next generation to be produced. And so as we look at Psalms 1, we want to examine what it is that makes man flourish. From where or from whence should man get his counsel? As he begins here, he says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful." There is that which is not good counsel. And perhaps you've received advice from someone that proved to be less than ideal, if not detrimental, to what you were trying to accomplish. But just as an aside for a minute, our songs that we sing today, some of them are quite new, and yet some go back to the 18, to the 17, if not even to the 1600s. And yet we're still singing those songs. And I know that we reference those songs, at least in our mind, from time to time. You'll catch yourself singing a hymn. And isn't that encouraging? Isn't that uplifting? And so it shouldn't surprise us, psalms that are written a thousand years before Christ are alluded to in various ways throughout the remainder of the Scriptures. And you might think, well, they're plagiarizing from the Psalms. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 17. But in actuality, all they're doing is referencing what we would call a hymn in making a point. We've just read Psalms 1. Listen to how this sounds so close to what the psalmist wrote. This is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8. And the prophet Jeremiah, as I've already mentioned, is somewhere in the 600 B.C. "For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." Isn't that neat? The prophet Jeremiah basically referencing Psalms 1. What is it about seeking counsel that's not good? Well, what it basically boils down to is man seeking other men's advice, as opposed or in opposition to what God has declared. When we begin to listen to our friends rather than to the Scripture, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. The man that's going to be happy is one who can distinguish between what's true and what's false. Staying here in Jeremiah chapter 17, look up just a few verses earlier, up to verse 5 and following. "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." Do you hear it? God says you're going to bring a curse upon yourself by trusting in the arm of flesh as opposed to seeking those things which are of God. Now, we wouldn't intentionally harm ourselves, would we? But God says whenever we go away from what He has delivered and listen instead, perhaps, to the siren's song, we're going to crash upon the rocks. When the arm of flesh is that which advises and counsels and, quote, strengthens us, then there is no strength in it at all. The man is happy who knows how to distinguish between the counsel of the wicked, the path of the sinner, or standing in the way of the scoffer. We face that in today's world. Those who would reject what God has to say and even criticize, if not make fun of, those who walk in the way of God. We must be ones who understand that God is all-wise and all-knowing and ever-present. Instead, the man of God is like what? Verse 2 of Psalms 1 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Have you ever had the scriptures running through your mind at night? Isn't it a comfort? How many passages of scripture do you have laid upon your heart that you can draw from? Or perhaps it's you just get up out of bed and you begin to read. You think, oh, I haven't read to this week's reading. I really need to get up and read that. And you find such consolation in the words of God. And they roam through your mind as you have read them. That's part of what God's blessing is for us. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. It's not just consoling, though it is that. It's strengthening, and it brings about a sense of security. Why? Because you believe in God and in the Bible as His Word and in the truth that resides within. And so when it comes down to a decision, have you ever been fluctuating between this or that, the left or the right, the up or the down? What's the final authority for you? I hope and pray that it's God's Word. That if God's Word says this is not an activity that you need to be engaged in, then that is sufficient. You avoid that or you repent of it. And instead you walk in the way that the Lord would have you to walk. Because I need to delight, not see it as a burden, but I need to delight in the Word of God and see it as that which sustains and gives life, just like water to the tree. The man who trusts in the arm of flesh, he's not like one that is the tree. But he whose delight is the law of God, Psalms 1, and then the next verse, is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. Whatsoever he does will prosper. Would you be rooted and grounded and strong, able to stand up to the trials of life? Then what must you do? You must be like one who trusts in the law of the Lord and become like the tree that's firmly rooted and grounded. We know that those who trust in the ways of man are going to be tossed here and there. The arm of flesh will fail you. Here recorded for us in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 14, Paul writes, as a result, and he's talking to those who are firmly established in the will and the word of God that's been delivered. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by every joint which with it supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. No longer tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but instead established and firm and secure. Jeremiah had said also, this is back to Jeremiah chapter 17, of the man who has trusted in the arm of flesh, beginning with verse 6. What's he like? Listen to the contrast between the psalmist saying, the one whose delight is the law of God is like a tree. He says instead, the one who has walked in the counsel of the ungodly. Verse 6, Jeremiah 17. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Like a bush in the desert. The psalmist says, after talking about the righteous man being like a tree that prospers, he says, but the wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now, you may be familiar with a wheat harvest scene where the combine goes through the field and coming out the back of the combine being turned by blades is the chaff all of the straw and the head of the wheat separated from the seed, and it's just a maze of dust. I can remember working in the cotton fields back home, and we had the cotton crop that would get ready for harvest, and we would have it sprayed so that the leaves would die. We had it defoliated, and they would become brown and crispy, so that whenever the cotton stripper came through, and it was much like a corn stripper at that time, where it had brushes that would run up the cotton stalk, and it pulled off everything. It left the stalk, but it pulled off the bowl along with the cotton, and it would break up those leaves, and then it would blow it into the back of a trailer, and it looked like what the back of a combine is. It was a cloud of dust. You know who was in the back of the trailer? It was me. I was packing that cotton and moving it to the side of the trailer and making it to where the trailer, which was taller than me at the time when we would start, but by the end I was up on top. I would pack that cotton to where as many bales as possible would be in it to take to the gin. But I can remember all of that dust flowing into my face. And it was the only time in my life that I can remember enjoying cigarette smoke. Not that I was smoking, but once in a while, the guy that was running the cotton stripper up on the tractor, Mr. Holder, would light a cigarette. And it was just almost like a breath of fresh air because I was smelling something besides the cotton leaves dust. The wicked are like the chaff, susceptible to the wind, blown about, Paul said in Ephesians 4, by every wind of doctrine. We shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be that every time we come to a decision about a certain aspect of our behavior, that we try and decide what's moral and what's not. If God is clear, then we forsake that which God has said is against His will. That's a man who delights in the law of the Lord, who has his roots deep, whose sustenance is God's word, the streams of water, and he grows strong and is fruitful. What actually happens when we listen to the counsel of man? We trust in the arm of flesh. Do you see the picture that God is painting? We don't flourish and thrive. We shrivel up and die. In fact, John speaks of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3 as being one who is going to winnow the souls of men, just like we have been talking about winnowing a crop. Listen to these words. This is Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 11. John speaking of himself and then of Christ. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So that when the wicked are like the chaff which the wind blows away, in actuality the wind is a fire that will burn. Jesus will sort those that have been fruitful from that which is useless and wasted. Let's go back to the beginning point. What is the distinguishing factor between being a man who receives good counsel and one that doesn't? It's whether or not I have chosen to listen to God. So as we read the Scripture, as we lay it upon our heart, and I want to challenge you, if you haven't already memorized Psalms 1, it's only 6 verses, why not commit that to memory? Let that be one of the things that you can draw forth on your bed at night and think about. Because it is a powerful psalm that reminds us of at whose feet do we sit to receive life's counsel. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. Upon it he meditates day and night. And basically, cursed is the man who doesn't understand that. Like a child blown about by every wind of doctrine. It's only in God that there is life, there is sustenance. God's word is to the heart what water is to the tree. And ultimately, we will all stand before the day of judgment, or in the day of judgment before God. And yet the wicked really will simply be there to receive what God will say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Trust in God or suffer the consequences. Isaiah is about 100 years after the time of Jeremiah. And yet listen to these words. I'm sorry, before the time of Jeremiah. He's somewhere around 700, whereas Jeremiah was in the 600. And listen to these words from Isaiah. This is Isaiah chapter 47. Let's begin with verse 12, thinking about the struggles through the years that the children of Israel had. And quite often they not only listened to those who were not godly, they began to be involved with idolatry because of the people that were around them. And Isaiah is prophesying during a time just before Assyrian captivity. And they have gotten into idolatry and witchcraft. And starting with verse 12 of Isaiah 47, "Stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries with which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you may cause trembling. You are wearied with your many counsels. Let now the astrologers and those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moon, stand up and save you from what will come upon you. Behold, they have become like stubble. Fire burns them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There will be no coal to warm by, nor a fire to sit before." What Isaiah points out is that in their deviation, going away from God, trusting in their sorceries, being sunk in their idolatry, even seeking the astrologers, the reading of the stars to find the future, he says, you're not finding any hope. In fact, those teachers of those various vices cannot even deliver themselves, much less you. Blessed is the man who doesn't trust in that which would cause him to self-destruct. The wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The very last verse then in Psalms 1, verse 6. "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish." Another way to look at that verse is the Lord has outlined the proper path for the righteous to take. Any other path is ungodly. Doesn't that make sense? If God has said, from point A to point B, this is the highway that you should take, a highway of righteousness, then any other highway that you take won't lead to point B and will ultimately not lead to life, but to destruction. Now, you may use a GPS. Perhaps you still have some of those old maps in your glove compartment that you bring out. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous is the Lord has outlined that which is good for man. God is not capricious or arbitrary in the things that he expects of his children. He is a father that cares. And much like a father who loves and does his best to provide and guide, God in his delivering of the Holy Scriptures has given to mankind exactly what will bring me from point A to point B, from this life to the next. The reason I should delight in the law of the Lord is because it is that which delivers me from the stumbling, the bumbling, the falling, and especially from not being pleasing to Him. And so as I think about what God has given me and I meditate upon His Word, it truly is life and sustenance. It is that which secures my soul. It gives me hope because God is always good. That doesn't mean He won't punish. But actually, it is a punishment that is brought upon one's self when one deserts the counsel of God. The wicked are like the chaff which the wind drives away. The sorcerers, the astrologers, the soothsayers, they can't deliver themselves, much less you. Any counsel that goes against the will of God is that which would destroy. The way of the ungodly shall perish. Our God is an awesome God. He wants us to know the basics. He wants us to walk in His way. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the day of judgment, nor be in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. Our God, giving good counsel, life-sustaining, pointing from point A to point B, and B is eternal life. God wants His children to come home, to live with Him forever. But we must be willing to listen, to meditate upon His will, to trust that He knows exactly what is best, and then do our best to walk in His way. Jesus said simply, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." Do you believe it? Then let us obey it as we stand and as we sing.